Good morning, Christ Church. Take a seat. Welcome. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Man, what a beautiful weekend. That is awesome. Well, I got a couple announcements for you. June 11th, we're having our summer kickoff. Summer is upon us. Isn't that crazy? Can't believe it's already Memorial Day weekend here. But summer is upon us, so we're going to celebrate. We're going to have an ice cream truck. Thank you. When we talked about this earlier, no one was excited, so thank you for that. But we're going to have some fun games, just kind of make it a fun day. So great opportunity to invite a friend. Also that weekend, June 10th, our family ministry is having a brunch and learn. So if you have a heart to serve our kids, you can come check it out, learn more, get connected to that ministry if you want. So that's June 10th. You can sign up online for that. And today I want to share with you from John 15. So if you would stand as we read the scripture. And as we're remembering, celebrating Memorial Day today, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Let's remember all those who have sacrificed their lives. Let's honor those who are serving, who are deployed, their families, all of them. Let's take a moment and pray in our hearts and remember them as we go through this weekend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for ultimately your sacrifice for us, Lord. You laid down your life for us, and we give you glory. We give you honor. We appreciate that. Father, we thank you for the men and women who have done that, protecting, serving us, Lord, and we honor that. We glorify you for that amazing display of love. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters that are serving locally, nationally, internationally, Lord. We pray your protection, your grace would be upon them. Father, today as we think about the good life that you invite us into, help us to trust you. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to follow you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you just take a second now and say hi to those around you?
Amen. Well, church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Good morning to each and every one of you guys. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Hey, can we thank God for the good weather lately? Can we say hallelujah? Tomorrow, I'm going to be grilling tomorrow, and then I'm going to mess up all the food, and then my brother's going to have to grill to actually make up for the food that I burned. But I hope you guys have a good Memorial Day holiday with your family and friends, and as Chet said, as we remember the great holiday and all that it means. And so today, what I want to do is, as we've been thinking about, what does God invite us into? The one thing that God invites us into, if you see clearly in the scriptures, he invites us to himself. And as he invites us to himself, he offers us what we call the good life. The good life. The good life is what we've all been chasing ever since we were little. The good life to my kid is just sitting in front of the TV, eating goldfish and watching TV. Literally, that's all the good life is to him. But that develops as he gets older and as he gets wiser. Hopefully, he gets wiser. But actually, as he gets older, you know, that the good life is something we are all chasing for. It reminds me of a story by a gentleman by the name of Keith Barnes. If you don't know who Keith Barnes is, he's a very well-known Christian counselor. And before he became a counselor, he actually wanted to become a lawyer. Now, one of the reasons why he wanted to become a lawyer was because of his parents. They lived in California. They were just high-prestige lawyers. They represented athletes and great corporations and businesses. So, of course, tennis, lawyer to tennis player. It seems like a great transition, right? Right? And so he tries this, and he competes, and he trains, and this dude goes 0-10. In his first 10 matches. Now, he played amateur. He wasn't like the big Wimbledon players back in the day. But one of the things that he said in his life and before he became a counselor is that he was chasing the good life. And to him, the good life was success. To him, the good life was prestige. Being noticed, his family being proud of him. He said when he was young, the one thing he often wanted to do always was to please his father. Dad was a hardworking guy. Dad worked a lot as a lawyer, obviously, you know, a lot of hours, a lot of time away from the family. And he said that he always looked up to his dad, and he always wanted to please his dad. And when he felt in his life, when he didn't receive becoming a lawyer, he felt that he was a failure. As I often say, we all chase the good life. And now when you think about the good life, what do you think about? When you think about, well, if you had it your way, what would the good life be? For me, my wife and I, we would be in Florida. We'd be in St. Pete's, Florida, hanging out. I'd be getting tanner and tanner. Y'all, you know, I'd be so black, look like Wesley Snipes, you know. That's the good life for me. The good life wouldn't be working. The good life would be pain-free. The good life would be, you ready, tax-free. Got a lot of amens on that one, right? We all have this idea of the good life. We all want utopia. We all want that. And friends, can I tell you this, that the good life is achievable. The good life is there. But it starts and it begins and it ends with one person. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who offers us a good life. See, when we think about Christianity and following Jesus, I used to think about it as just following rules, and God wants me to be miserable, and I can't have any fun, and I can't go to parties, and I can't watch MTV. That's all I thought about Christianity. But the scripture actually tells us a different version. The scripture tells us that God is for your happiness. Can I just tell you that right now? God is for your joy. God created you to experience absolute delight in him. Because God wants you and I to be happy. It's not a miserable life that he calls us to. It's not a basic life that he calls us to. It's a joyful life. But the problem is, the reason why we have a hard time achieving happiness and joy and peace, because we're looking in the wrong places. We're looking in the wrong places, and we're looking in the wrong people to give us what only God can give us. Because God's the only one who can give you and I absolute joy that we need in our lives. Many people have a version of Christianity that just plainly isn't true. The version that I see is that God wants you to have joy, and not only have joy, but have joy in every season. God is for your happiness. There's one thing you can take away from this Memorial Day weekend. He wants you to be happy. But we must first look to him. See, the centrality of the Christian life is to enjoy him. Right, there's a very famous, well-known confession, and it's called the Westminster Confession, and it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him. Right? The joy is God. All he is, all that he does, all that he provides, all that's in him and what comes through him to us. But friends, happiness begins with him. Now, how many of us can be honest that we haven't been really good at being happy lately? We've been really good at being stressed, or we're really good stressors. I mean, we're professional stressors. You can give a course on stress. You can tell people how to be stressed, how to stay stressed, how to give an attitude to your family, how to get an attitude to your coworkers. We're really good at that, but I believe that if we look to Jesus, Jesus will give us a better way to live. A better approach to life, a better way that it's not about what's happening around us that dictates our joy, but it's who he is that dictates our joy. Does that make sense? It's who he is and what he does and what he offers. That's what really drives our happiness in life. So I want to read John chapter 10, and I believe Jesus is going to frame for us what the good life is all about. Friends, the good life is a good thing, but we must seek it in the one who created it. Does that make sense? The good life is attainable. It's achievable. It's in our reach. We must seek the one who actually gives us clarity on what it is. So John chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1. Now I'm going to read all 16 verses, okay? I need you to bear with me. Relax. This is the Bible. You can take time to read the Bible, okay? And we're going to talk about what is Jesus' idea of the good life. Verse 1, it says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep, his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought all of them out by his own, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. You have your Bible, underline that. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10 is the highlight of today's sermon. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said. But I came that you may have life. That you may have life. And listen, not only have life, but have it abundantly. That should get an amen right there. I've came to give you life and you can have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. Listen to this, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them. Also, they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says this. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who gives you the good life. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Now, when Jesus says this, Jesus is obviously mentioning an Old Testament theme. An Old Testament theme was God leading Israel like a shepherd. That's where we get Psalm 23 from. God would always remind Israel, I am the shepherd. Jesus comes along in the Gospels, and he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, notice Jesus puts an emphasis on good. So that means this, if Jesus is the good shepherd, that means there's bad shepherds out there. Right? Like, there's bad shepherds out there, and so Jesus is giving this obvious, quick analysis of why he came, and he came to be the good shepherd, to give us life in abundance. And when he says life in abundance, it really means to give you and I a quality life. A life of quality. Now, here's the thing. Before we break down this verse, I realize this. In order for us to understand what Jesus is offering, we must first shed off what we think is the good life. We must first shed off what we think the ideal life is. This is one guy that we love as a church. Sadly, he passed away a few weeks ago. Tim Keller. He wrote a book called Counterfeit Gods. And it's a book that talks about the idea that you and I, in our lives, we always put our trust in things more than God. Because we look to things to give us life when really they let us down. Because there's a lot of things in life that overpromise but underdeliver. Right? Like, one of the things, college. Just telling you right now, I came out with a fat bill. I'm still paying off on that thing. I'm 33. I'm about to be 34. I was 18. What's the problem? Like, that makes no sense. They overpromised, and I became a pastor. I didn't even use what I got there. I'm just being honest with you. It was an overpromise. Listen, I love college. I think college is a good idea. Parents, don't get mad at me. Send an email to chat if you want to. Okay? But there's a lot of things in life. And what Tim Keller would say, he says this, success, true love, and life was what we always want. Like at the end of the day, it's not stuff that we want. It's love, peace, confidence. He says, at the end of the day, success, true love, and life was what we always wanted. Many of us place our faith in things, believing they held the key to happiness. So we say to ourselves, hey, if I have this career will make me happy. If I get into this relationship will complete me because we believe in the Jerry Maguire lie. Listen, spouses, your spouse does not complete you. Your spouse is a broken sinner saved by grace through faith. Got it? So he says this, believing that they held the key to happiness, but with sneaking suspicion, they might not deliver. No wonder we feel lost, alone, disenchanted, and resentful. There is only one God who can wholly satisfy our cravings and give us what we ultimately need. So here's the one thing about the human heart. The human heart is always looking for God. So listen, I know there's a lot of atheists and a lot of skeptics, a lot of people just say they don't believe in God, but truly what they're seeking is God, right? Right? No matter who, no matter if they're an atheist or a believer, we're always looking for God. We just look for God in the wrong places, right? And so Tim Keller will say that in order for us to achieve the satisfaction that Christ wants to give us, we must first remove idols in our lives. Now, an idol is a very familiar theme in the Old Testament. Now, how you know you have an idol is this. He says this. An idol is nothing but something in your life that if it went away, you would lose all sense of self-worth. So think about that one thing. What's that one thing in your life that if you lost it, you will lose all sense of living? For me, it was being the top-notch, most successful entrepreneur. Right? Right? And so when that thing obviously didn't work out in my life, I'm here in Elyria, Ohio, you know what I'm saying? Preaching the good word. I became an entrepreneur in another sense. You got that? So I had this idea that, man, if I become this successful mogul, and really what I was really searching for was acceptance. I just thought acceptance was through achieving this certain thing in my life, and then if I achieve that, everybody will like me. Everybody will love me. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't just success, it was love that I was looking for. And when I lost it, I felt like there was no sense of living. And that's what the scriptures will call an idol in our lives. Typically, they're good things turned to God. Does that make sense? They're good things like family. Family is a beautiful thing. But sometimes we look to our kids and our family and our trustworthy friends to give us what only God can give us. To give us what only God can achieve for each and every one of us. An idol is that one thing in your life that you trust in, that you say, if I don't have this, I have no sense of living. If I don't have this, and I don't have a sense of living. So I want to ask you a question. Is it enough if you lost that very thing you said that you cannot let go of? Is it enough to say to yourself, I may not have this, but the one thing I can never lose is my faith in Christ? Is that enough? And truly ask yourself. Because it's real easy to make job your idol. It's real easy to do that. I hate to step on some toes today. I'm going to step on some more in just a little bit. It's real easy to allow relationships to be God. It's real easy to let money be the reason why you do what you do. It's real easy for that. And I want to ask you a question. Would you still have a sense of self-value and self-worth if that thing went away, but Christ was there all along, all the time? Would you still have that? And it's a question we have to often ask ourselves. I remember a conversation Chet and I had years ago. Chet's a good guy to talk to sometimes. Just letting you know, his jokes aren't funny, but, you know, he's a good dude to talk to. Oh, is he here? I didn't see you. Oh. Sorry, Pastor. I'm so sorry about that. It's your pastor here. I didn't see you there. My bad. And him and I were talking one day, and he had to just remind me. One day, he had to remind me. He said, hey, if that thing that you are chasing for, if you never get that, that doesn't define you. See, Christ is the one who defines us. Our self-identity is not in the things, but it's the giver of the things. It's not in how can I be number one in this area and that area? Because we all want to be number one. We all have the spirit of Ricky Bobby. If you're not first, you're last. Dear Lord, baby Jesus. We all got the spirit. We all want to be first. But sometimes life is life, and sometimes we're not first. And when we're not first, that's when we fill out our worst. But Christ offers us a life that's more than just material. It's more than relational. It's something that actually satisfies the heart. And what satisfies the heart, what satisfies the real sense of purpose that we want, the love that we want, peace that we want, it's Christ himself. It's Christ himself. And I've been through life enough to realize that nothing can offer us anything more than what Christ can give us. And that's a sense of purpose. That is a sense of love. And so when he'll say this, and this is what Tim Keller will say. He'll say that sometimes in life, we have a disorder of love. He says, sometimes in life, we have a disorder of love. We love things more than the most important things. So watch this. He'll say this. So obviously, it's good to love your job. But also, it's really good to love your family. How many of us have been at a point where it got mixed? And job went before family, right? Job, or it may not have been job, it may have been a relationship, whatever it may be, we all have a disorder of love. And Keller will say this, and I love this book. You ever get a chance to read this book? He'll say this, that man, if we get love right, everything falls into place. Meaning this, if our love starts with God, everything else that you long and desire for will fall in its place. Now, he's not saying that you'll never won't be happy. Never go through anything bad and never have pain in your life. But he says if your love and your identity starts with Christ, then everything else begins to follow suit soon after that. Meaning this, that the relationships that we want in life, look to Christ, and those relationships will soon be shaped in and of itself. The drive and the success and the purpose that we want, he says, look to Jesus, and then that will shape that purpose and that drive more and more in your life. See, friends, it starts with Christ. And without him, we'll then believe in the things that really aren't him, and they will leave us more depleted, more purposeless, less peaceful, and all of that. So what Keller says, it starts with Jesus. And I believe the scriptures tells us that it always starts with Christ. See, Christ, he's beautiful enough to satisfy our cravings. The beauty of Christ, the good shepherd, he is beautiful enough to fulfill our desires. He is beautiful enough to remind us that you're loved, that you are accepted, that you do belong, that you are known. Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. See, the truth of the matter is the totality of the things that our needs, of our needs, really gets met in Christ. So if my identity starts in Christ, if my purpose starts with Christ, if my love starts with Christ, if my peace starts with Christ, well, then everything else in and of itself will then fall into suit in our lives. Because Jesus is the good shepherd who offers the good life. And the foundation of the good life begins with him. Begins with him. What he offers. Here's the one thing I want you to know. God wants to spoil you with blessings. Blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that I want to give you the life, and I want to give it in abundance. That's an overpouring of more and more, never running out, never not having enough. That's what Jesus promises in this life. And I believe that the way that we can understand this good life begins in three total points. I believe the very first one is, number one, the good life is to be led by the shepherd. Now, we've often talked about the shepherd and the sheep, right? If Jesus is a shepherd, that means we are the sheep. And we've often talked about how sheep really don't have great eyesight. They really can't choose what's best for them. They really don't know where to go. They don't know where to get their next food. So therefore, they need a shepherd. Sounds a lot like Psalm 23, doesn't it? So what Jesus is trying to tell us, he says, you are better when you're led. You are a better follower than a better leader, friends. Can I tell you that right now? That's why it's called followers of Jesus. He leads, we follow. Where he says we go, we go. Because there's one thing about the shepherd is zealous for the well-being of the sheep. The shepherd is zealous for the well-being of the sheep. The shepherd wants to take care of the sheep. The shepherd, and notice that Jesus says that the sheep go in and out of the pasture. Remember Psalm 23 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture, restores my soul. He leads me to quiet waters. What Jesus is actually trying to say is that the sheep, that his sheep, that his followers, they go to a place of rest. They go to a place of peace. So where is the shepherd leading you? Where is Jesus leading you more and more in your life? He's leading you to have more and more contentment. That's the way Jesus is leading you. To have more and more contentment. So that when you say to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd, everything else is second and third and fourth. He's leading you to a place of comfort. He's leading you to a place of rest. He's leading you to a place of peace more and more in your life. And the good shepherd offers that in our lives because he is zealous for your well-being. He is zealous to take care of us. He is passionate about really leading us and giving us what our heart initially wants and desires. Number two, the good life is the nearness of God. The good life is the nearness of God. Notice that Jesus says, he says, I am the door. Jesus says, I am the door. Now, what Jesus say, obviously he's giving an analogy. He's not a physical door. Jesus doesn't have a hand knob and he's not wood. But he's giving an analogy. And what Jesus is actually saying in this, he says that I am the way to reconciliation. See, a lot of us don't realize this, that as Christ came to this earth, and when he died the death that he died, and he raised to life, really he broke down what the Bible calls it hostility. Because before Christ, we were separate from God. There was hostility. Right? There was hostility because of sin and all this other stuff. And Jesus broke the chains of hostility. And he brought us near to God. Our way to God begins with Jesus. Remember in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the... That's exactly what he's talking about in here. He says, I am the way to God. See, listen, the good life is the nearness of God. It's being with him. Because the nearness of God gives us access to the things of God. It gives us access, you ready? It gives us access to the peace, to the hope, to the joy, to the love, the acceptance. All that you are looking for is found in the presence of your Father. In your presence of your Father. And Jesus says this, that I am the door. I'm the way to true happiness. I'm the way. One of my favorite movies is The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith. I love that movie. I cry every time. Little Jaden Smith, you know, walking around with curly hair, look like my son, you know. Just, I love that movie. But one of the parts of that movie that I love is that when he finally, you guys remember as the movie ends and he finally gets the job and he goes out and he's just pumping his fist and he's happy and he's excited and he's finally got the thing that he was looking for. See, I believe this, friends. I believe that you and I are in the pursuit of happiness. Christ says, I'm the way to happiness. I'm the way to full joy. It's through me, actually. But I love that Jesus says that, he says, I have sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them. That's verse 16. Jesus says this. Jesus says, there are lost sheep out there looking for me. There are lost sheep out there looking for me. And I believe this, Jesus wants to give us a life of the nearness of God. He wants to give us a life that we are known by him and that we assist and partner with him in helping people to be known by him as well. Because I believe this, the good life is not only the nearness of God, the good life is making God known. The good life is serving people. The good life is not making it about you. The good life is saying, I'm going to sacrifice time. I'm going to sacrifice my energy and my strength to serve God's people, because this is what gives me greater joy, is when I not make it about me, but when I make it about others. Half the reason why a lot of us feel joyless, because we're so selfish. Well, maybe I'm just talking about me. My mind is always about, what can Javon get? What can Javon accomplish? What about Javon? What about Javon? And no wonder I'm focusing on me and I'm looking for happiness. But friends, happiness is not in me. But happiness is when we make it about others. Jesus says, I have sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them. You know what Jesus says? Jesus explains what the great commandment is about. When he says, I have authority in heaven and earth, go out to all nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you to do. You know what I feel like the greatest purpose in my life is? Working for God. The greatest joy in my life is when I partner with the Almighty and I say this, use me, because I'm better than your hand. Use me. Lead me to who you want me to assist and help and lead in my life. And friends, I believe this. We will find that joy when we partner with God's great work that he wants to do in this world. See, at the end of the day, it's not about us coming to church and sitting in and hearing a message. It's about going and being the hands and feet. Wherever we go, at our jobs, at schools, at soccer games, at whatever it may be, it's about us coming in, being equipped to be able to share the gospel in the lost world around us, because there are sheep who Jesus says must come to this fold. And I know this, that Jesus calls each and every one of us to assist with him in accomplishing that goal. See, I believe this, your life is more useful in God's hands. That's the God honest truth today. If there's nothing else you can get out of this sermon, because I saw some of you guys sleeping, but if there's nothing else that you get out of this sermon, you are better used in the hands of God. When you say to God, you say, okay, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to assist in all that you want to accomplish. Jesus says, I have sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them. And notice what he says, this third point. The good life is a life of redemption. I love a good redemption story, especially from athletes. With athletes, you know, they have this great success, and then they fall, and they find themselves in very desolate moments and situations. But then, of course, they make a comeback. And they come back and they succeed, and pretty much everybody forgets what they did and they remember what they're doing. And I believe this, friends, that the Christian life is a life shaped by redemption. Jesus says this, I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. See, I believe this. The gospel teaches us a better place to live from. See, the gospel teaches us that we don't have to live for love, but rather we can live from love. The gospel teaches us we don't have to live for peace, but we can rather live from peace. And I believe when we get that scenario right, when I believe when we allow the redemption that Christ has done in this world and through us, I believe that the joy and the happiness and the good life that we like and the good life that we desire, Christ fulfills that. See, friends, at the end of the day, the good life is not the absence of pain. It's when Christ brings purpose in it. The good life is not making much about yourself, but making much of God. The good life, it's not how can people accept me and love me, but rather is living from acceptance and love through Christ. I believe that's what the good life Christ offers us. And I believe that if today, that if we do as Jesus says, and we go to the good shepherd and we say, Lord, I've gotten life all wrong. I've gotten my love out of order. I love things more than sometimes I love God. And in life it shows. But today I realize that the good life is not achievable when I'm leading, but the good life is achievable when you're leading. The joy and the happiness that I long to have and feel in my life, the joy and the happiness that seems to fall short every single day because my job makes me upset or my family gets on my nerves or whatever it may be, the happiness and joy that we long for and that we need, friends, it's in the Good Shepherd. Because God is for your joy. God wants his people to be happy. When God created the world, and he said all things were good, and then when he made Adam, Adam was involved in the goodness creation story. So that tells us that man was created to enjoy the goodness of God. And I believe you can receive that goodness today. I believe the happiness that you want is found in Christ. The joy that you desire is in the Good Shepherd. The purpose that you feel like you need to have is in the Good Shepherd. And today, would you offer yourself and remind yourself, hey, listen, the life that my spirit is longing for is in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds to the truth that you are the good shepherd who does offer the good life that we desire. And Father, I will admit today myself that I have gotten life out of order. I tend to love things and success and people more than I love you. And Father, I put my identity in the wrong things. I put my trust in the wrong things. But today, Father, I turn my will to you. Because, Father, I'm better in your hands. I'm better when you're leading. And so today, Father, I pray that we would find our sense of worth and well-being in the presence of the Good Shepherd. I pray the Good Shepherd reminds us it's not about your success. It's about what Christ has accomplished for you. I pray that you will remind us it's not about where you go, but what I brought you through. I pray that we would have that mindset more and more in our lives, and we can live with a sense of contentment. We can live with a sense of joy because you're leading us to the good life. Father, I do ask that you would forgive me. I do ask that you would forgive me for looking to things to give me what only you can give me. Father, I ask that you would forgive me for putting relationships above you, for putting my work above you, for putting things above you. Because now I see, and now I realize, in your presence is the good life. In your presence is the good life. So that today, Father, I pray as collectively, as a whole, as a church, those watching online, that we would turn to you. That we would look to you, that we would find the goodness that's in you, that we realize that there's purpose in you, that there's acceptance and joy and love. I pray that we can do that today. So your perfect and wonderful name, Son's name is who we pray, the Good Shepherd, of the sheep.